Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and where my faith grows stronger, and where I'm learning how to be an overcomer. We are not learning to lose. We're learning to overcome. And the scripture says that if we follow Him, He always causes us to triumph. His will is not win a few, lose a few. That's not His plan. His plan is win, 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 and then what?
Win.
And you win, right? Well, that's what overcomers do. They overcome. They win. So let's believe the Lord for answers and help today. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, asking You for exactly what we need for now. The answers, the direction, the help. We ask for the quickening of Your Spirit, Your holy anointing, and the working of revealing and giving of answers and strengthening of our spirits and hearts and minds and bodies, bringing us into the fullness of Your good pleasure, of Your good will, teaching us Your will and Your ways. We seek it, we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're feeding our faith in the material for material things, because in this life you need them. Every day of your life, you're going to need something materially. Food, clothes, place to live, stay, way to travel, all these kind of things. And if the Lord adds to you family, you need more. If He adds to you a church, you need more. A business, you need more. And the more things grow and develop, the more you need. But the great thing is we got a big God. Somebody say, I have a big God.
A big God.
Big God.
Big God.
Once in a while, do yourself a favor. Go out and on a clear night and look at the night sky. That's your daddy. That's your father. He is so big. If He can keep all these massive stars alive and burning, if He can keep gravity and the rotation of the planets and all of this in sync, He can get you through the day.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He can help you pay your bills. He can take care of you and your family, and your business, your church, your ministry. And what we're looking at, reason after reason, we're going through 30 great truths from the Word, reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. A lot of alls and always there, but that's how faith works. If there's any crack, if there's any question about, yeah, but it might not be or could not be for this one or that one, then faith is out the window. Now you're just guessing. You got to be convinced it's available to you and it's God's will for you. So said out loud, abundant provision, is always, every day,
every week,
every month,
every year,
my whole life, abundant provision,
is always
God's will,
for me.
Always. And that's not just based on guessing and theory or reasoning. It's based on what He said. Faith in God, you don't base faith in God by what people said about Him. You want to know Him for yourself. You base faith in God on what He said. What He said Himself. And the great thing is we've got the Bible and we've got the author of the Scriptures living inside us believers. And so our one by one through 30 reasons is what we're doing. And our first reason was the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we've talked about how that God's original creation shows it. His fatherhood shows it. His will in heaven shows it. His dealings with His first covenant people and the promised land and the tabernacle and All those things show it. The things he's told us how to live by honor and by wisdom and tithing and giving. He didn't say do those things and live broke and live poor. He said do those things and you'll be increased and you'll have more. And so we're down to reason number 20 in our study. We are sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all. Because of the wealth of the sinner, we get that phrase directly from this verse in Proverbs 13. So look at it with me again, please. Proverbs 13 and verse 21. He said, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. And several other translations say it like this. The Berean, for instance, it says, disaster pursues sinners, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. The Amplified says it like that. Adversity pursues sinners, but the upright will be rewarded with prosperity. Does the Scripture say that if you follow the Lord and you do things His way and you live the upright way, that prosperity is part of that life?
Yes.
It does. Right here. I didn't write it. You didn't write it. The New Living says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. Our King James says their children's children. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. The Good News says, good people will have wealth to leave to their grandchildren. But the wealth of sinners will go to the righteous. Can you see, we've talked about this before, but this is a generational thing. You hear people talk about generational wealth. Well, that's referring to wealth that these people didn't work for. They inherited it. And that's not a bad thing. You hear sometimes people say, well, no, you know, I don't think that's good. I think people should have to work for what they get. Well, that's just your opinion. That's not Scripture. You should work at what God calls you to work at.
Yes.
But you want to have a revelation that my job is not a limiting factor. Mm-hmm. My job is not my source. Mm-hmm. God's my source. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And you can live, people say, well, you shouldn't live beyond your means. And what they mean by that, you shouldn't live beyond what you can produce. That's a small life.
Amen.
Hmm? No, we're not talking about overspending and going in debt, but you can live way beyond what your job produces because God can bring it in 1,000 different ways.
Huh?
And this is one of the ways He does it, is through generational inheritance, through leaving it to the next generation. How many believe this is Scripture and this is true, that a good people leave an inheritance to their children's children? Well, you got to have it to leave it, right?
Amen.
So you would have had to have acquired it, accumulated it, amassed it. And what we saw in Psalm 112, I'll just review just a little bit for those that weren't with us. But in Psalm 112, it says, the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in His commandments, his seed will be mighty on the earth. And the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, is that the word of God or is that the word of God? You know, people try to just ignore this and go, well, yeah, but you know, that's not for everybody. Well, who's it for? And how do we find out? Huh? Well, it's one of those great mysteries we just don't know. No, that's just your lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. We don't have to settle for that.
Right. No.
What does the Word say?
Right.
Is God no respecter of persons? Is He the God who never changes?
Yes.
Well, He said that His will is that you listen to Him and that you live in an upright way, His ways, and that you be blessed and increase and then leave things to your kids and grandkids so that they start off at a different level. And if things keep continuing, they keep increasing throughout their life. And this is spiritually and materially. And then leave what they have gained to the next generation. And the enemy, of course, is the thief. And too many times he has robbed a generation so that they did not pass on their knowledge and faith to the next generation. And whole moves of God can be lost to the next generation. And what you'll find is, you know, and it's sad that some parents and grandparents don't know better than what they do. But, you know, the things they learned, they don't pass them on to their kids, and they don't require them to learn or develop or grow. And you'll find kids that never participated in anything, never any developments that, you know, things that required something of them. And here they are college age and can't even wash their own clothes and don't know how to do anything. And that kind of thing can wind up that they are lazy and don't go to church and backslide, and a whole generation of knowledge and increase was lost. Yeah. And they don't have anything to pass on to the next. And that's the devil. He's a thief. He comes to steal. And he wants, if some gains are made in the generation, he wants to cause it to be completely lost in the next one. When they're all backsliding, you know, just become ungodly and worldly. And then if two generations down from them, somebody gets stirred up about God and they start climbing again and make some increase, well, he'll do everything he can to rob and steal and lose that completely in the next generation. Never is that God's will. Tell me what God's will is. Huh? Increase. Only increase. And that's what we saw in Psalm 115 when he said this, the Lord, Psalm 115:13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. He's no respecter of persons. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children.
Amen.
Well, what would that look like? That's an ever climbing graph. Is that right? You increase, you increase, you leave it to your kids, and they increase. And they increase, and they leave it to their kids. I know my father in the faith, and a father of faith to many, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, who's in heaven now, he used to tell us this. He'd say, he'd talk about when he was a boy, he was born prematurely, and he had multiple problems with his body. He had incurable heart problems and blood disease, and he just didn't fully develop as a baby. But God healed him. Hallelujah. But he said as a teenage boy, he was trying to learn if he could live or die. He was paralyzed from all this stuff. And he sent for preachers, and he couldn't get anybody that would tell him. He wanted to ask them about faith. He had read faith in Mark, about the woman whose faith made her whole, and some of them, Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he was paralyzed, so he couldn't talk good. And he would tell later, you know, that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he could have faith. But he said, I had to stand alone. I had nobody to help me. Not his parents, not his pastor. This is what his pastor did when he finally came. He said he tried to talk, but he was paralyzed, Brother Hagin was, and he tried to make sounds, but they didn't accomplish anything. And he said his pastor took his hand and patted him and said, oh, just be patient, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. Just telling him you'll soon be dead, you know. Don't worry about it. And that's no help at all. Is that right? And that's what he said. He said, I had to stand alone. I had no help. He said, you are not that way.
Right?
He said, we have taught you. We've given you everything that God has given us. He said, if you don't start where we are and go up, I'm going to come kick you. Well, is that just his thinking? Are you hearing something of God in that? Is that God's will that we don't just start over from scratch every generation? We start and go higher.
Amen.
Didn't he say it? The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Come on, say it out loud. The Lord shall.
The Lord shall.
Increase us.
Increase us.
Increase me.
Increase me.
More and more.
More and more.
Us and our children.
Us and our children.
Now this is both natural children and spiritual children. He said, you are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Now, we talked some about this a couple of lessons ago, that it is not God who is withholding material things from people. It is, do you understand, child of God? It is not our good Father who is causing people to starve to death in the earth today.
That's right.
Huh? Who is withholding from them enough food for people to feed their children, to keep them from dying? Mm-mm. No, it's not God. There's a devil. There's an enemy. And he is the illegitimate God of this world. And he's a thief. And he's a hoarder. And he's the one that wants the church absolutely broke. And every believer and every preacher poverty stricken. So that you don't have resources to do anything. And so you find ungodly people and mean people and cruel people who have resources that they've amassed. But those resources don't belong to them. Originally, they belong to God's people. And God has already stated that this will not last, that even though a whole generation amasses and accrues wealth, ungodly people, they may think to leave it to their descendants, but it's not going to work that way. It will wind up in the hands of the righteous. And that's a curse to them. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he has no sorrow. And it's not just through hard labor and hard work that we prosper. Then you could give the credit to yourself. See what I'm saying? But by grace, you didn't accrue it just by hard work. You followed him and he added it to you. Can you say amen? He added it to you. Say it out loud. The Lord shall
Increase us
more and more,
us and our children. Let
me read these to you again. Proverbs 28:8 says, he that by usury, that's interest, and unjust gain increases his substance, he will gather it for him that will pity the poor. Ecclesiastes 2, I'm just reviewing a little bit. Ecclesiastes 2 and 26 it says, God gives to a man what's good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. These are things money can't buy.
Right.
But to the sinner, he gives travail to gather and heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. Working night and day, travailing, giving yourself ulcers and heart problems and piling up money, that's a sinner's life. That is not the life of the blessed. And they might pile it up, but it won't go to their descendants. It'll wind up in the hands of the righteous. Listen to Job 27 and 13. This is the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors. See, a lot of the wealth that's accumulated is through oppression. They'll receive this of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. In other words, all that accumulation that he did is not going to benefit his children as children's children. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. And though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on and the innocent shall divide the silver. This is the way judgment works. And that's what happened when at the end of those 400 years that the Lord brought his people out of Egyptian bondage. And the fear of God after those plagues and signs and wonders fell on the Egyptians so heavy that the Lord told the people, on your way out, ask for everything. Ask for gold, ask for money, ask for... And they did, and the Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. They loaded up with gold and silver. Now, this is not something... They didn't force the Egyptians to do this. This was not somebody, men making men do something. This was God's judgment. This is something he did. And next thing you know, he tells them, I want to build a tabernacle. Hallelujah. And you can bring me an offering. Well, slaves wouldn't have had big offerings. Is that right? Just a few months ago. But is that a picture and a type for God's people today? Is God building something today? Is he reaching out with something today? Does his people need resources?
Yes.
So he took the riches of the Egyptians who worshiped the sun and the river and all kind of false gods and were ungodly. He took that after generations, and he got it into the hands of his people to build what he had called them to build. Not something men do, something God did. Now, a good example of this is something you'll see in the life of, you know, some of the patriarchs. Let me see here just a minute. God, he never forgets. And when you obey him, he's got a plan that will intercept abundance all along your way. The path of the just gets brighter and brighter. Jacob, if you remember, Jacob and his brother Esau were born. And Jacob wound up running away and leaving home. And he wound up, you know, with some of his mother's people. And one of the daughters there, he fell in love with, Rachel, and agreed to work for years for her father, kind of an indentured servant, to marry his daughter. And he said, sure. And then wedding night, they did a switcheroo on him, man. I mean, he woke up with the wrong woman, her sister. And his father-in-law said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just tack another 7 years on the end. And his father-in-law was an ungodly man, an idol worshiper, if you read the whole story. He was not a worshiper of God, an ungodly man. And but you'll notice that he did. He worked the 14 years and he kept working. And at the end, though, he thought, this guy's just taking me every time I turn around. He said at one point, he said, he changed my wages 10 times and deceived me every one of those times. Every time he made a deal with it. It started off, you know, in the beginning for Rachel. And his father-in-law deceived him, and he wound up with Leah. Another 7 years of work tacked on. And he didn't learn the lesson then. There were 10 more times he failed to read the fine print. And did not. And he thought he got an okay deal. And he realized, man, he took me again. He took me again. But he finally got to praying about it seriously. And God gave him a vision, a night vision. And he saw, because his job was with the livestock, and he saw the cows at the watering troughs that were speckled and striped, and that they were the stronger. And so the Lord revealed to him, this is what you do. You agree with your father-in-law, what's his name, Laban? You agree with him that you will work for just the off-color cows. You know, not the solid color ones, but the ones that are streaked and spotted and, you know, multicolored. And he thought that was a good deal because that was probably the minority of them. But he showed him what to do. Put poles that have stripes on them and spots on them in front of the trough when the cattle come to drink. And that's because a lot of times that's where they would mate and conceive. And he said, when you see the strong ones, put your rods in. When the weak ones come, take your rods out. And in the he did that. And in the process of time, all the strong ones produced spotted and streaked cows. And within a period of time, he wound up with the flocks and the strong. Huh? Y'all follow what I'm saying? Genesis 31:7, he says, your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said the speckled will be your wages, the cattle bear speckled. If he said the ring-straked will be your hire, then all the cattle bear ring-straked. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Do you see a transfer here? God did it. Jacob didn't do it. This was not him demanding something from his father-in-law. This is not men's reparations. This is God judging. This is God doing it. And even though it took a few years, he wound up wealthy. Well, Jacob wound up wealthy even though he was a bit of a slow learner and got a bad deal 10 times in a row. You know, we need to not look at people or put pressure on people or make demands on people. We need to look to God. Amen. And believe that he can take care of us. And it doesn't matter how badly people have treated us or what they have tried to do to us. He said God didn't suffer him and allow him to hurt me. And that is ultimately, somebody said out loud, God is watching over me and mine. He is taking care of me. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And I am the just. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's his plan. It's his will. It's something that only he can do. It's not something you make happen. It's something he makes happen for you. Our time's up again today. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.